Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Wright's Way, produced by BackSportsPage.com. I'm Malik Wright, here with my co-host, Michael DiFilippo.
Thank you, Malik. I'm excited. Let's get started.
Well, the first thing I want to start off talking about today is the news that struck the NFL by storm today, and that's the loss of wide receiver Jordy Nelson, who just went out today with a torn ACL.
For the Green Bay Packers.
Yes. I cannot overstate enough how big of a loss that this is. I don't see a way that the Green Bay Packers can recover from this. I mean, we're talking about one of Aaron Rodgers' favorite targets, if not his favorite target. I mean,
you talk about a guy, yeah, 98 catches last year, well over 1,000 yards, and I mean, yeah, you know, Rodgers definitely going to struggle. This is a pass-heavy offense, and I mean, Jordy Nelson was his number one target, as you said, so they're definitely going to struggle this year without him.
I can't agree more. I just look at the impact he's had on that organization. You know, in the course of 7 years, he's hauled in 49 touchdown passes, 6,000 some odd yards. Not many NFL receivers can say that they've done that.
No, I mean, yeah, he had size. He's one of Rodgers' main guys that had size. You look at the other guys in the receiving corps, you had Randall Cobb. He's a quick guy, but he didn't provide the physicality that Jordy Nelson provides on the outside.
I can't agree more. It's just that, you know, over the course of the last few hours, I've heard people say, you know, Randall Cobb is going to be the guy, Devontae Adams is going to be the guy. You know, they aren't going to miss Jordy Nelson as much as they, as, you know, the NFL and the media are making it out to be.
I mean, you talk about Devontae Adams. Rookie last year, and really surprised a lot of fans in Green Bay, a lot of people around the league. He had a big game in Miami at the beginning of the season, and with such a strong rookie receiving class last year, he was not one of the main guys that you thought would emerge. But, I mean, he had a great season last year, and Rodgers being arguably the best player in the league, you could put something together with this young receiver.
Now, I'm not going to dispute that. However, the loss of Jordy Nelson is unimaginable for this organization. This will cripple their season. I mean, we're talking about a team that was picked to be one of the Super Bowl favorites this year. And with the loss of Jordy Nelson, who allows the likes of Devontae Adams, the likes of Randall Cobb, you know, to get open, to catch those passes in space, and pile up those yards, it's a huge loss. And I can't see Devontae Adams or Randall Cobb filling that void.
I mean, you know, Randall Cobb, the Packers obviously put a lot of faith in him. He was a free agent this summer, and they gave him a big deal. He could have thing of Seattle and other places. I mean, he's a very talented receiver. He's a Pro Bowl receiver. Again, I mean, I think he could have a huge effect. But as you said, Jordy Nelson on the outside provides such a threat. It does open up opportunities for Cobb. I'm not going to say that the Packers are just going to go downhill, but it'll be interesting to see how Cobb can do without Nelson on the other side taking up so much attention.
So let me ask you a question. Do you think the Green Bay Packers can actually recover from this loss and reach the expectations that have been set for them?
I do, and you know, one reason. Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of that team.
Very true. He is
MVP, am I right?
You're right.
I mean, I said before in the show, I said arguably the best player in the league. In my opinion, he's the best player in the league. With a player like Rodgers, I mean, he beat the Cowboys on one leg in the playoffs last year. I think they can recover with no one else playing quarterback but Aaron Rodgers. I think they can be all right. As big as a loss of Nelson is.
That's, you know, I'm going to go as far as to say that this loss is as big as since the Vikings were to lose Chris Carter back in the heyday. That's how.
That's a good comparison, Malik. I mean, you talk about a guy, Chris Carter, he's not gonna burn you with his speed, blazing speed, and Nelson was the same way. I mean, they're fast guys, but they're so reliable.
Yes.
With such strong hands, I mean, on the last of them, you know, they're not gonna drop the ball, and they're so reliable. So I agree with that comparison.
And that's why I say that this is going to cripple their season.
I don't think the Vikings, when they had Chris Carter, they had a guy like Rodgers manning the helm.
That's true.
And I'm sorry. That's my main point. I think. I mean, I think you know, without Nelson, it's going to hurt. And probably as they get into the postseason, that's when you're really going to see it. But I think Rodgers is going to really step up his game.
Well, I'm not going to be that guy that's going to go against Aaron Rodgers. He's proven people wrong all throughout his career. He's definitely a future Hall of Famer. And
sure.
You know, I can't argue with that. However, I'm sticking to my point that I think that the loss of Jordy Nelson is going to hurt.
Hurt in what way? I mean, are they a playoff team still?
No.
Really?
No.
I disagree with that. Rodgers is a playoff quarterback.
Rodgers is a playoff quarterback.
And he's that good, he makes them a playoff team, in my eyes.
But Jordy Nelson is a key contributor to that. He allows guys like Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams to get the yards at the end. He allows it. So we're overstating, we're overlooking what this man has done.
Well, I mean,
he's a leader.
I agree, Nelson is a huge part of the Packers. Have we seen him do something without Rodgers?
Yes. Prime example, when Matt Flynn was there as starting quarterback, he helped lead that team. This guy consistently showed up game in and game out. I think he's more reliable than Randall Cobb.
I agree with that. Definitely more reliable than Randall Cobb. Randall, Jordy Nelson's a reliable guy. He'll give you consistent amount of receptions a game. Cobb is electrifying, you know, speed down the field, big plays. But, I mean, yeah, you know, they're going to miss Nelson, the go-to guy, third and long. They're going to need that. They're going to miss that.
So let me ask you a question. Who's a greater loss? The Carolina Panthers or the Green Bay Packers? Because as we just found out earlier this week, the Carolina Panthers lost receiver Kelvin Benjamin to a torn ACL in practice.
The loss of Kelvin Benjamin is huge. And you know, I'm going to go out and say Kelvin Benjamin's the bigger loss. I mean, Jordy Nelson is the more proven receiver. Obviously, at this point in his career, Kelvin Benjamin only just finished his rookie year. But when you talk about the Carolina Panthers, this is a team for the past 5 to 10 years has struggled so much with their passing offense. The one notable receiver you can name is Steve Smith. And that, yeah, that's about it. And they got Benjamin in the first round last year in the draft in a strong rookie receiving class. And the guy put up great numbers for Cam Newton and the Panthers. I mean, look, he put up 9 touchdowns.
I'm not going to...
9 touchdowns, but 73 receptions.
I'm not going to argue that. Kelvin Benjamin was clearly, without a doubt, the Carolina Panthers offense. I think more so than the receiver, I think they're going to miss that deep play ability, that kick the head off the defense. I think they're going to miss that. We look at guys that are on the roster, guys like Ted Ginn.
You look down the receiving core. I mean, yeah. Well, like you said, I mean, yeah, Ted Ginn. Well past his prime. Stephen Hill. And we're talking about a former Jet receiver. I mean, I don't even know what he did with the Jets. Not much, that's for sure. Nothing notable. Devin Funchess, second-round guy this past draft. But he's not a rookie that... He's not a top-10 rookie pick. You could say he's reliable. He's definitely going to put up numbers like Benjamin did last year or Beckham did last year.
Well, that's my point. I can't say Devin Funchess is not going to show up. You see, he's more than likely not to because he's a rookie receiver. But when you look at a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. and what he meant to the New York Football Giants last year and how he transformed that offense, him by himself, not Victor Cruz. This guy did it single-handedly.
That's true. Good.
He missed 4 games?
He missed the first 4, and Cruz went out. I believe it was the 4th. Yeah, they were never on the field together, and he got pass after pass. He was easily number one target.
He's probably the most dominating rookie receiver I've seen come out.
Definitely. And Funchess, he's not going to be that. We could say that.
We can't say that, but I will say that it's more probable than not that he won't. But
definitely,
I think that when we see his play on the field, then we'll be able to make a better assessment. But right now,
the first 2 weeks are the key for the Panthers.
I'm not going to say right now that he's just not going to do a flat out because Odell surprised the NFL.
I mean, yeah, the reason I say the Panthers lost Benjamin for the Panthers is a bigger loss than Nelson for the Packers. This is first-year guy, 6'5", 245. And those numbers, that size, is so big in this day and age in the NFL. With everyone just getting more physical, everyone's getting bigger and stronger at the cornerback position, you need that size at your number one receiver in the league. And Benjamin provided that. It was his first year. Newton and him worked very well together. And, now I don't know if they're a playoff team with his loss. I don't know who they're going to go to.
There were a lot of rumbles earlier in the week, and they were saying that should the Carolina Panthers pick up Reggie Wayne? Now, me, I'm totally against the idea. Because I think Reggie Wayne is well past his prime.
Definitely.
So,
I mean, he's coming. He's well past his prime. He had a major injury recently. I mean, I don't think that's the best move.
But, the Carolina Panthers need an answer. Because if they do not find an answer, then I will go as far as to say the Carolina Panthers will miss the playoffs again.
I don't think the answer's in their running game. I mean, we know Newton can run the ball. But I'm talking about solid running back.
Newton can
run the ball. He can get him out of bad situations, scrambling around the pocket, and like maybe scramble for the first down. But I mean, a true running game. And they don't really have a big running back.
we can say
Newton's, running back.
Newton's game is very up and down. So whereas you said Aaron Rodgers is, you know, can take the Green Packers still to the playoffs, I can't say the same about Jaden. I
can't say with confidence like I can with Rodgers.
I see this team being a 5-1 team.
I mean, I don't know if I go as far as saying a 5-win team. I could see it, but you look at this defense with Luke Kuechly in the middle. I mean, another arguable point, but he might be the best middle linebacker in the game right now. The defense is strong. They had a good season last year. So, I mean, again, with the loss of Benjamin, they're going to need their defense to stay strong if they're going to want to make the playoffs to get to 500, 8-8, 9-7. They're going to need a strong effort from the defense with the loss of Benjamin.
Once again, this is Malik Wright coming from Wright's Way, produced by BackSportsPage.com. You can find me on Facebook at Malik Wright. You can find me on Instagram at Malik Wright. And you can follow me on email at malikwright.mw@gmail.com.
Yeah, the co-host, Michael DeFilippa with BackSportsPage.com. You could follow me on Twitter at mdflip19 or Facebook, Michael DeFilippo. You can always shoot me an email, michael.defilippo19@yahoo.com. I'd love to answer your questions.
Hey, guys, I'm going to, sorry for just jumping in here. For those who don't know who I am, you can listen to me. My name is Randy Zelia. I'm Real Sports Talk Radio on Wednesday nights, and of course, debuting this week, Inside Big Blue, the official Giants podcast for Back Sports Page. I wanted to quickly just ask you guys a question from some of the things that you guys were just talking about. You're talking about Aaron Rodgers and Cam Newton and their situations losing receivers, as well as, you brought up Victor Cruz coming back from injury. You guys, and Mike, I'll go with you first. The way the NFL is, it's the next man up mentality. And if it's a very deep injury, there's a possibility they'll get released from their contract. So Malik asked the question before. I don't know if there's a lot of stuff going on over here, so I didn't fully hear the answer. In your opinion, you said which was the worst of the two injuries, and who's going to have the effect? Did you say it was Aaron Rodgers going to have a tougher time, or was it Cam Newton?
I believe Cam Newton with the Carolina Panthers will have a tougher time with the loss of Benjamin, rather than Rodgers with the loss of Jordy Nelson. Just because the receiving core for the Panthers is not as deep as the Packers' receiving core, and Newton hasn't proven himself as much as Rodgers has.
Okay, and I'm just going to throw my opinion in, and then I'm going to hop back off. I'm sorry for just interjecting, but I just thought it would be good to have a third voice on this part of the conversation. And Malik, please interrupt me if you think that I'm wrong on anything in there. I'll be honest with you, Aaron Rodgers had a very good postseason when they won the Super Bowl, and he had a very good regular season the following year. And the reason why he had a lot of yardage, thrown yardage, and a lot of touchdown passes is because the running game for Green Bay over the years has been abysmal in the past.
Mm.
The running game has been terrible. And I'm not saying that Aaron Rodgers is not a great quarterback by any means, but they were throwing the ball out of necessity in the past.
Very true.
Okay, so my big thing is, over the last few seasons, I've always felt that Aaron Rodgers gets a little bit more credit than he deserves.
You mean the past few seasons because how Lacy's been playing?
Well, just in general, I don't see it. Help me understand how great he is when, with the exception of the Super Bowl, and then, of course, last year, the situation with Seattle and so on and so forth. Green Bay hasn't really done anything. Aaron Rodgers hasn't done it to the point where I felt like he can go out there in the last 2 minutes of the game and he's going to close it out. Like when the Giants were making their Super Bowl runs, especially the second one, with Eli's second Super Bowl run, you're a Giant fan during that run. You know that the ball in Eli's hands, you felt confident enough. When the ball's in Brady's hands, you feel confident enough. I never felt that confidence with Aaron Rodgers. I never said, okay, you know, Aaron Rodgers has the ball here on the last drive. You know, he's going to bring him down the field and they're going to win this game. As a certain quarterback, I felt it with Peyton. I felt it with Eli. I have felt it with Tom Brady. I felt it with Favre at one point in his career, but I've never gotten that feeling with Aaron Rodgers. So that I just wanted to throw my two cents in there with that. And as far as the loss of the receiver with Carolina, look, Cam Newton, we're making a bigger deal of this loss because the receiver they lost had decent numbers. He was their best receiver last year. But their receivers weren't that good to start with last year, so they'll be able to pick. So I think they're going to pick it up. So I'm sorry for just throwing my two cents in here. I just wanted to throw that out there and just give you guys a third voice on this.
Always greatly appreciate it, Randy.
Yeah, thank you.
No problem. Like I said, I'm gonna keep listening, and you guys are doing a great job, guys. You know, if you guys want to call in and talk with them, 760-283-0846. Right away, new episodes will be dropping every Sunday here, backsportspage.com, on blogtalkradio.com, and also available on iTunes. That's right, guys. You guys, people can download you on iTunes. You got to feel special about that.
Very special.
Yeah. All right, guys. Have a good rest of the show.
Thanks, Randy.
Thank you.
Well, you know, Randy brought up a great point. But, you know, the way I see it, I do think Rodgers may get a little bit too much credit. But, you know, the only reason why I see Jordy Nelson's loss as a bit bigger than Tava Benjamin is because of the expectation. The expectation for the Green Bay Packers, let's face it, it was nowhere near the Carolina Panthers. We're talking Super Bowl, and we're talking playoffs.
So this Panthers team has been they've been getting better and better each year, and you look at it now, and it's like that. Now they're just going backwards with the loss of Benjamin, and you're expecting this team that they're just going on a steady incline. They're picking up good rookies like Benjamin in the draft. Keekly was a young player they picked up. And let's say they're just getting better and better, and now, you know, it's another block in the road. And can Cam Newton, can he get over that hurdle? And that's what's going to be interesting to find out. If he's the quarterback that can get over that hurdle, can he make fun just the guy that he made Benjamin last year?
Well, my one thing we can agree on, this should be a very intriguing season. But I want to switch gears a little bit here. Let me ask you, what do you think about Tim Tebow? Will he make this Philadelphia Eagles roster?
I think Tebow could make the roster. I think he will. I mean, he has great size. He's a very strong build. That could always be used in the NFL. It is the right spot for him throwing the ball at quarterback. I don't know. But, I mean, I think he could be used on the roster. I think he might be a valuable piece.
I mean, I personally don't even see his roster spot in question. I will go as far as to say, if I was the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, for what I'm trying to implement there, I would start Tim Tebow.
At quarterback,
yes. We're talking about a guy.
I disagree with that.
This is why we do this, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about a guy who took his Denver Broncos team to the playoffs and beat a top defense in the Pittsburgh Steelers. who lost his job the very next season to Peyton Manning. Now, I'm all for, you know, going after one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. But to say that this man hasn't produced is completely false. We're talking about a guy who never really got a real opportunity. And when he did, he performed. What, he went to the New York Jets after. He backed up Mark Sanchez. He ran a few option plays. What, he registered 5 yards. Then the New England Patriots bring him on. And if that wasn't detrimental enough that he was backing up Mark Sanchez, he gets cut by the New England Patriots. I mean, what was the point of even bringing him on?
I definitely – you can't start him, I don't think, to start the season. There are other guys on the roster that you have to give a chance to start first. I mean, look at Mark Sanchez last year. I didn't think he was going to do anything when he came in. When he came in for Nick Foles, he put up an 88.4 rating at quarterback, threw 14 touchdowns in 9 games. And, yeah, I mean, he put up decent numbers, 64 completion percent complete passes. So, I mean, he's a guy I think you got to start over Tebow, more reliable, especially after last season.
Are you telling me we're talking about the same Mark Sanchez who's infamous for the butt fumble?
Yeah, he still put up good numbers last year.
The same Mark Sanchez who in the same game will throw 4 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. We're talking about the same Mark Sanchez, right?
He didn't look like that Mark Sanchez with the Eagles, did he? He didn't look like the Mark Sanchez you brought up just now was not the Mark Sanchez who came out for the Eagles last year.
You're right. He was a better version, but in the end, it was the same result, thus leading to the Philadelphia Eagles not making the playoffs.
I think it's a better result than people will give you.
I mean, let's look at it. We got Sam Bradford, right?
I think, yeah, Sam Bradford is a guy.
Injury prone.
Injury after injury, but he's talented. I mean, I think he's got to be the number one guy if he can avoid injury. I mean, he's a talented quarterback. Perfect play, body build for a quarterback.
But that's easier said than done.
I agree, but I don't think Tebow's the next guy either.
We're saying start Sam Bradford, a guy who hasn't been able to complete a full season. And, you know, we throw him in there and we say he's a starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. I look at it. I don't even think he fits the system for Philadelphia. I think if you look at the system of Philadelphia.
I mean, he's a similar style to Nick Foles. And that worked out until Nick Foles went with an injury.
I mean, you're bringing up great points. But I think what Philadelphia wants to do, what Chip Kelly wants to do with that offense, I think Tebow is the perfect fit. I think he looked for a guy that's been out of football for, 2 years? He did pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, look at Bradford, 2012, he played the full 16 games, threw over 20 touchdowns to 13 interceptions. Those are 3,700 yards. Those numbers don't blow you out of the water, but he's also on a struggling St. Louis team. I mean, I think he'd be reliable. As long as he stays healthy. I know that's a big question. Big question mark.
Can we agree that Philadelphia is going to be a running team this season with no true number one receiver?
They will be a running team, especially with the addition of DeMarco Murray.
Exactly. Sure. So can we also agree that Philadelphia will run option plays?
Yeah, with Chip Kelly as the head coach. You will have option plays in his system, he's moved since he's gone from Oregon to Philadelphia. He's learned he had Nick Foles as his quarterback. Nick Foles is not an option quarterback. He's not a running quarterback, so he can adjust to Bradford's style throwing the ball because that was Nick Foles' style as well. Mark Sanchez, not a running quarterback, they adjusted to that. So I mean, with the addition of DeMarco Murray, they will be a big running team, but they don't have to only be a running team.
But I think the running game will speak to their success. I think, once again, for what Chip Kelly wants to do. I'm not running option plays with Sam Bradford. And I'm pretty sure defenses won't even believe that. There's no way a defense will believe that Sam Bradford is going to be the ball carrier. I'm going to talk about
it. Yeah, I mean, they didn't believe that with Nick Foles, and they were a team that you couldn't go into a game taking easily with Nick Foles at the quarterback position.
But
because it's not because they knew they wouldn't run the option.
They could
play that style.
The difference is with Nick Foles is that he never tore his ACL. We're talking about putting a guy, Sam Bradford, back there, who we're going to try to run a multiple type offense. Multi-offense, and make it believable. It's not. It's not how Chip Kelly runs his offense. You look down on that Philadelphia Eagles roster, head to toe. Matt Barkley, Kenny, Sam Bradford, and Mark Sanchez, and Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow is the proven one out of them. And Tim Tebow also fits what they want to do.
How is Tim Tebow, how would you say he's more proven than Mark Sanchez?
I mean,
I'm not saying Mark Sanchez is a Hall of Fame proven quarterback, but
I don't think
he's nothing special throwing the ball. I think we can agree on that.
I think in today's NFL, playing quarterback is much more than just throwing the ball.
But you're saying he's right.
Am I right?
It is becoming a dual threat league, but you still have last year's Super Bowl winner, Tom Brady. He doesn't run the ball. Aaron Rodgers, he can run, but he's pass first. I mean, he can run, but he's not a running quarterback. It's not all dual threat quarterbacks.
But in today's NFL, we look at the likes of Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick. I'm sorry, the first thing that comes to mind when I think of those guys and Cam Newton also is not their throwing ability. It's run first in my eyes.
Okay, so how is Tebow's proven in his playoff run? I mean, that whole Tebow thing with, like, I think that was just a thing, you know. Everyone was praising the guy. I think it was a nice run. It was like a nice fairy tale run. I don't see anything like that happening.
You said it's a nice run, but The run shouldn't have ended.
But he was given another chance, but he didn't capitalize on any opportunity. He was still given opportunities. He couldn't win a job over Sanchez in New York. There's a reason why he didn't start that year.
It's not that he couldn't win a job over Mark Sanchez in New York. It's just that Ryan was so stubborn. You know, he was so fixated with Mark Sanchez and letting Mark Sanchez be that guy that Mark Sanchez was never going to be. The reason why I brought up the point that Tim Tebow...
So it was Bill Belichick. I'm not saying Tim Tebow's not going to win a job over Brady, but he wasn't even the backup over Garoppolo.
Well, I don't even think that...
At the time it was Ryan Mallett, but...
I don't even think the Patriots should have picked him up personally. I think that was a huge blow to his career. But the reason why I said Tim Tebow over Mark Sanchez is because you can make the argument
why is getting picked up by a team a huge blow to a career though? just because you couldn't win the starting job. Or the backup, if he could win the backup job.
It's a blow to his career because we all know there was no way at the time Tim Tebow was going to be a three-time Super Bowl champion in Tom Brady, our four starting quarterback now. We knew that. However, when the Patriots did choose to sign him, you know, it wasn't to be the quarterback. It wasn't to even be the backup. They tried to convert Tim Tebow into a tight end. So, back to my original point, the reason why I say Tim Tebow over Mark Sanchez is because you can make the argument the only reason the New York Jets made it further under Mark Sanchez was because of that amazing defense. And that's the truth. The 2 years that they went to the AFC Championship was because of that amazing defense. Mark Sanchez had nothing to do with it.
And your championship quarterback had nothing to do with it.
And the sooner people realize that.
The quarterback had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do
obviously
with it.
Obviously the quarterback had something to do with it. But I wouldn't go out on a limb and say that Mark Sanchez is the reason why they were in the playoffs. You look at it, in my eyes, I think it was the same Mark Sanchez that we saw during the fumble days. I just think that he had an amazing running back behind him in LaDainian Tomlinson.
Oh, LaDainian Tomlinson passes prime. Mark Sanchez never really surrounded with any big weapons.
But that offense had a great running game.
I mean, Tomlinson retired.
But more so
out of New York. And I mean, he was well past his prime. He was never surrounded by big receivers, big time receivers, so.
The defense, but as I said, the defense carried that team. They did. Also, you know, as I said before, Tim Tebow, you know, I think he's the reason why the Denver Broncos made it to the playoffs. I will even go as far as to say, and you may call me crazy by saying, I think Tim Tebow and Andrew Luck have some similarities.
So the 2011 season, that was when they made it to the postseason. His 12 touchdowns and 6 interceptions was the reason they got to the playoffs with those numbers.
We're also taking away.
And not even over 2,000 passing yards.
It is, once again, to be a quarterback in this NFL is not about your arm. I'm talking about what Tebow did. What he made these defensive coordinators actually have to think. He gave them nightmares. His dual threat ability, his ability to be able to extend plays, was the reason why the Denver Broncos made it to the playoffs and won a playoff game. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, that's where I don't think there's much of a dual threat. You cannot rely on Tim Tebow throwing the ball. That's what I believe.
I just think that Tim Tebow is the guy for the Philadelphia Eagles. I honestly do. He puts butts in seats.
He won't put anyone in seats after they go 2-6 in the first 8 games. Winning is what sells the ticket. Tebow is not the winning quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles.
That remains to be seen, though. Chip Kelly even came out today and said, not today, but earlier in the weekend, said that he can see Tim Tebow making the roster.
I agree that he'll make the roster, but not as a quarterback. And maybe coming in on a few plays as a different look for a read option to threaten defensive coordinators, but he's not an every down quarterback throwing the ball.
Well, if the Philadelphia Eagles do as I expect, if he does get the start at some point in the NFL season, I think he'll be proven wrong.
I think it'll be a disaster, but we'll see.
We'll see. That's the one thing that's exciting about the NFL season, ladies and gentlemen. You never know what it brings. Once again, I'm Malik White. This is Wright's Way. It's produced by BackSportsStage.com. You can find me on Facebook at Malik Wright, Instagram, Malik Wright, Twitter, The Real Malik Wright, email, Malik Wright, period, MW, at gmail.com. And I'll be happy to answer any of your questions.
I'm the co-host, Michael DeFilippo. You could follow me on Twitter at MDFlip19. Find me on Facebook, Michael DeFilippo. Or send me an email at michael.dfilippo19@yahoo.com.
You know, for this last topic, it's one that's been, you know, stirring the NFL. I want to get your thoughts on Tom Brady and this whole the
Flategate
situation.
I mean, it's the Patriots. I mean, this isn't the first incident that they've been accused of cheating, and that's where I mean, I don't know if I could trust the organization. We had Spygate a few years back. So, you know, I mean, I think he's guilty. Adding the 4-game suspension is a good number. Quarter of the season. I don't think it should be lowered. I think they're guilty.
Now, the argument I've been hearing from a lot of fans, particularly Patriot fans, is that either way, you know, the Patriots were going to beat the Indianapolis Colts in the AFC Championship. You also hear that, you know, all quarterbacks like their ball PSI level a certain way.
So, yeah, they all have a different, but they have to be within the range, and they all have a different.
And the argument I've been hearing is we shouldn't punish a guy for the level, the air pressure of a ball.
But wasn't it? The NFL has a certain standard range, correct? And it was under that range.
You know, no, I'm not disputing it, but I am, you know, bringing up valid points that we do hear from Patriots fans and fans around the NFL. I mean, we're talking about a 4-time Super Bowl champion being suspended 4 games. In the first 4 games, 3 of them are tough.
Yeah, the Steelers opening week.
The Bills.
Opening game in Buffalo. And then home against Jacksonville and in Dallas. This Dallas team is a team that's getting better and better. Yeah, I mean, those are some talks about.
So would you say the NFL is kind of overstepping the boundary a bit? I mean, do you think it's a roster or Dell?
No, yeah. I mean, there's no room in the league for cheating. No matter however many, however much the ball was deflated, if it was under the range that the NFL set, you have to suspend the Brady for at least 4 games. There's no room in the game for cheating.
I agree. But when we say there's no room in the NFL for cheating, I mean, don't you think that these are the refs' fault? Because You think about it. Aren't they supposed to check them all?
So you say they should be in question as well?
I think they should be held responsible, not more so in question. I think that...
I mean, that's another... Yeah, I mean,
I
Brady,
think,
Brady Medication Organization, they still have the intention to play in ball. That's aside. I mean, they still deserve the four games. Brady still deserves the four games. It doesn't matter if they get away with it or not. They have that intention.
So... You're telling me that the New England Patriots believe.
Yes.
They have intention on their intention. Michael is saying that. Say, hey, we are going to deflate these balls, and this is going to be defeating the New England Colts because of it.
That is completely absurd.
The Colts game was not too competitive. And you're right about that.
Right,
beating those balls being inflated, but that's what Brady prefers.
And that's what he's more comfortable with.
But it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
In league regulation. And so it could. That's what Brady wanted. And it was just a couple. It wasn't as much of a difference between the league standard and what Brady had it set at, but it's still under the right.
The way it is, you know,
I think
Tom Brady did have some knowledge.
But we can't
crucify the guy because of it.
I mean,
the Indianapolis Colts
had no shot.
They had no shot at beating the New England Patriots.
When they got beat by the New England Patriots.
Not by Tom Brady and his mastermind plan with
The Indianapolis Colts were outplayed, outcoached, and that's the bottom line.
I agree, and Patriots still would have won if the balls were in the regulation.
So why are we suspending Tom Brady?
Because it's still against the rule book.
I think.
The result, they would have won by that margin if the balls were in league regulation. But if you don't suspend Tom Brady, that's condoning cheating. Even if it's a small degree.
Would you?
That's okay. We're not going to do anything.
I look at so minute.
I think
people around the world, we need to move football.
I honestly think so.
Yeah, I mean, we can get back to football. The only thing that is blowing the situation up is that Brees like suspension. I mean, the NFL is not dragging it out. It's just Brees is the one that's putting it in the headlights.
He's pleading his innocence. You know, the way I look at it as, you know, the Colts weren't going to win. I can't overstate it.
I said I agree with that, but if you don't suspend Brady for having the ball deflated under the regulation, that's condoning cheating and there's no room in the league for cheating. That's all I have to say.
But...
Sorry,
I think the NFL is trying to make a statement, you know, Tom Brady, because of prior errors. I think they're trying to make this situation right, and I don't think
what prior errors?
You know,
we can look at, you know.
Imagine, but.
No, it's not a cheating situation, but it's still a situation where Commissioner Roger Goodell failed to, you know, give out the right to proper punishment.
Yeah, I mean, that's your opinion. I don't think it's a proper punishment.
I mean, that's what
and again, but again, but we're talking about Tom Brady cheating, and so the league can show they don't condone any type of, no matter what the score was, like how much the ball was inflated. You can't play. You can't go without outside of the league rules, and that's it. That's why they have rules. You can't go outside of them. If you don't think that, then that's ridiculous.
I honestly do agree. I do understand where you're coming from. But it doesn't change the notion that any clear evidence points to Tom Brady cheating. And I think he's the fall guy.
I mean, the evidence... I haven't kept up with every evidence. I mean, the NFL, Brady knew. I mean, the guy, I mean, he knows what the ball pressure is. I mean, that's what the NFL is,
I agree that we can't condone NFL.
But unless
there is
evidence
pointing to you,
Tom Brady as being
the deflator,
the person that said,
hey guys,
go deflate
these balls, you know,
so we can have an edge over
the Indianapolis Colts tonight.
I don't think
we can reprimand him because of it.
And I think
the NFL
would
be an error
again if they do
go forward with the suspension.
Now, however, maybe
he can play some sort of fine.
Even again, suspension for failure to help
the investigation.
He's not cooperating.
Maybe he can.
I mean, it's a fact that those balls were deflated. That's a fact. So, I mean, someone was behind it. The equipment manager claimed he didn't know. I mean, Brady, what year? What year did you go into the league? Your 16th season? I think he had to have known that those balls were deflated.
Well, you know. The only people who knows the truth is
Tom Brady and those equipment managers.
But I can't see
the Patriots organization.
Or Tom Brady.
Seeing this as an advantage.
I just don't see it.
But.
Let's say he does get suspended
for four games.
How do you think
the Patriots will fare?
I mean, with Jimmy Garoppolo, look,
Garoppolo looked impressive this preseason. In other preseasons, he looked impressive against New Orleans in their second preseason game. Yesterday, he threw for 269 yards and a touchdown, and led New England to a preseason win. That's not the biggest thing, but he didn't have a test in the first week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I can see Garoppolo leading the team to a 2-2 start in the first four games.
I think the loss of Tom Brady will not only impact the first four games, but the entire season. Reason being, is because Tom Brady's a guy that like that likes to, you know, he said before, he likes to get high, he likes to get rolling.
You know, that's why he likes to participate in preseason games
and,
all these other things that he's not wired to.
And so I think this will more so the chemistry kind of hurt a bit.
I mean, Brady's been the quarterback of this New England team for 15 years. I don't think the chemistry is a problem. He knows his guys. He knows Gronkowski and him work well together. We know that.
Yeah, I mean, well, the way I look at it is, you know, I just look at it as, you know, Tom Brady is such an integral piece to this offense. I'm not sure if this offense will be able to click with Garoppolo. And then when Tom Brady does return, I don't know if they'll be the same New England Patriots that we're used to seeing. I mean, we didn't even talk about We didn't even talk about the loss on defense.
I mean, losing Revis.
There's no recovery for that.
It's not at all.
I look at these defense. You can almost say it's non-existent this season.
No, I'm talking about cornerbacks.
Cornerbacks, yeah. I mean, that's a proven talent. Yeah, Ninkovich is solid. But yeah, if you have the cornerback position, Malcolm Butler, obviously the big Super Bowl play. That's one play. We'll see if he can prove himself.
I mean, well, from what I've seen in the preseason games, he was getting targeted, and he didn't look too impressive to me.
I mean, they're strong in the safety position. So, yeah. Can't do that.